You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi, and, well, Germs guy's not with us today. Decided to take the day off, so I've got... Devin is back after a week hiatus.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Devin. And, you know, Devin tried to start this show off with an introduction of his own, but...
I thought if John was gone, maybe I could, you know, step up, play a bigger role. You know, it's not going to be analytics, and it's not going to be movie reviews, really, so...
Yeah, we're going to miss out on both of those this week, you know. But I've decided ahead of time, and I kind of warned you about it, that I thought we'd make this episode fun with numbers. It's a good way of putting it, fun with numbers. So, John, I hope to make you proud with this one because, well, we're going to throw some numbers out there. And I'm going to... What started it off was... Let's go with number 27, shall we? And I think this is going to be a big episode on number 27. And Devin, you're in studio with me, so check it.
That's a nice shirt.
Check it. It's Rudy. Rudy Gobert shirt.
His shirt up and showing me everyone.
Yep. Rudy Gobert t-shirt. Got it courtesy of 1280 The Zone Sports when they were doing a show up this direction. So it's a sweet shirt. I'm tempted to not want to take it off for like 3 or 4 days after last night.
Why? Rudy took his shirt off right after the game. right during the game.
Where did he post that? Because I went out and looked on Instagram and couldn't find it.
Oh, did he take it off? It was on his Instagram story.
He must have took it pretty fast because when I went out, when they were showing it on TV, I went out to his Instagram. He had removed it, so maybe I missed it.
Let me see if it's still...
Or maybe it just wasn't loading for me. I don't think it's there, dude.
Hang on. I don't follow a ton of people on Instagram, so I thought maybe I'd find it.
Rudy's always good for some Instagram stories too.
Yeah, he took it down. Now he's just got onto the next one with him walking out of the tunnel.
Well, so last week John and I talked. We talked about the upcoming schedule. Felt like 2-2 would be good if I remember correctly. John, you can correct me later. But it turned out to be 2-2, didn't it? I think that's what it was.
I thought we did better than that.
Let's see. We had two. We're 2-1 in the last three. The one being to Miami, and then prior to that, were we 3-1?
Charlotte. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 3-1. Then
lost to Miami, and then back to back wins against the Spurs and Houston.
So yeah, John and I were cautious optimistic last week.
Good.
So we'll take the 3-1. Let's look back at these games for a moment. Charlotte, really good game in Charlotte. I'm trying to think back to what happened that night. I was working that night when it was happening, but a good win for the Jazz in Charlotte. Kemba Walker's having himself a heck of a year this year.
Yeah, they limited Kemba, if I remember properly. Korver, that was his first game with the Jazz, came in, knocked down his first shot, a three off screen.
Yep.
The Jazz just seem to have turned the corner, and in some ways it seems to be the offense because the shots seem to be falling now, as we've seen recently. What was it, 20 threes in the game against San Antonio?
Yes, a franchise record, yes.
And then just an all-around production last night from everyone.
Well, and then go back to it was San Antonio where Kyle Korver puts up 15.
Right.
Just blazing from downtown. The one black mark on the week, if you will, would be the game against Miami, where the Jazz looked to be in control late, and then Miami came roaring back and took the lead and then never relinquished it and went right down to the wire. And, of course, who better to the end of the game than the guy who's, you know, heading out the door in his final season, Dwayne Wade, to get the bucket.
Yeah, that was really just a tough break for the Jazz. To start off so well and then to go that cold spell through the first part of the second quarter.
Yep.
I mean, they went, was it 6-7 minutes without a bucket?
Well, then didn't they have a 20-point lead on them at one point? And then it just was erased.
So, you know, to come out that hot, then get that cold, and you thought they would put it together, but they just could not finish down the stretch. I mean, Mitchell had a great shot to put the Jazz up. With the layup.
Yep, that's true.
And it just didn't fall. And then you get Wade going the other way. Questionable call, if you will, you know, according to Rudy, it was. And then, you know, Mitchell has another good look to win the game and just can't hit.
We'll come back to that questionable call in a minute, but I want to go to the final play where Donovan gets a turnaround corner three-pointer. Do you have any issues with that shot? Because I didn't. And I've read where folks did because, well, there are some Donovan detractors that are surfacing right now.
You know, I do and I don't. I did when I saw it. I was like, is that the best shot you can get when you don't need a three? You know, what were they?
They were down two.
They were down two.
They were down two.
So you need the three to force overtime. But I can understand going for the win. I'd have to go back and look at the stats. I don't think Donovan was your best shooter that night, but he got a good look.
But you still had between him and actually Donovan might be your best closer though. And that might have been why that was written for him. And you had your other two best shooters in Ingles and Korver on the floor. Both of them ran routes to pull the defense away from Donovan to give him an opportunity.
Right.
So I felt like that play was written for him from the get-go by Quinn Snyder.
It definitely was. And I think Tony put it best. You know, I was reading what Tony Jones had to say about it, of The Athletic, that Tony Jones. And he was saying that Donovan Mitchell is your bucket getter.
Yep.
And you go to your bucket getter at the end of a game. And yep. So, you know, with that in mind, yeah, even if he's had a cold night, Donovan has been clutch, you know, but I wouldn't have had a problem if they had gone to Korver or to Ingles either.
Right.
I wouldn't have had a problem if they threw it into the paint quickly and trusted someone to get a dunk and tie it up and force overtime.
I agree.
As long as you get a good look.
And I felt like that look from Donovan was good. It was uncontested, if you will. He had a decent window to shoot it. You couldn't have asked for a more open shot from three, I think.
No. It's, you know, I'm not a fan of the turnaround, but you know, they had like a second and a half on the clock. Not a lot of time. So you take your shot, and that was the best one available.
So that game, that in fact, those final moments sets up what we saw last night. Courtney Kirkland, right?
Yes.
Referee calls a foul on one end of the floor on Rudy. Gets Dwayne Wade. Wasn't it Dwayne Wade that went to the free throw line, knocked down the two final free throws?
Yep.
So that sets up what we got last night, and we're going to come to that in a second, but then the Jazz host two Texas teams. You get San Antonio in town, and they blistered San Antonio. It was not close, not at all.
No, the Jazz dropped 139 points. I believe that was the most they've had this season.
Yeah,
so
I think it was. And to top it off, it was, I'm trying to look here, John on the Jedi and Germs account tweeted out something and then responded to me, and I wanted to read this here because I was curious. So the other day he tweeted out, who knew that DeRozan would make the Spurs so much worse? So I asked him, I said, wonder what the on-off court numbers are. Are they that bad for just him? And John, who likes to look up numbers a little bit, finally got back to me. He said, DeRozan's a minus 4.7 per 100 possessions. Yeah, DeRozan's that bad defensively. I still don't know if you put that game defensively on him alone, because it was a team effort. The Spurs just looked bad.
No, I don't know that you can. I'm trying to find what he was in that game. I mean, everyone was bad in that game. But DeRozan was a minus 18. Aldridge was a minus 19.
Yep.
Their best starter was Bertans at a minus 13. So that tells you how it went for them.
Yep. In fact, I think at one point in time, it was a 40-point blowout. It ended up at 35.
Right.
It was never close.
I mean, look at the bench. Bellinelli and Poeltl were both a minus 21.
Yep. Beginning of the end for the Spurs, you think? Are we getting there? I mean, I think Pop has to retire in the next year or two, and then they've got to retool.
I think that you're right. You know, they don't have any of the pieces that have been there for the last 20 years. They're really starting over. I think Danny Green was a big loss in that trade. That people really didn't pay attention to, because you just looked at, you know, the superstar names with that. But yeah, they're going to have to find a new coach, and they're going to have to make some changes, you know, probably player wise and scheme wise as well, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. And it'll be interesting to see what happens and how they keep things together down there. It's been a long run for them, just like the Jazz run over those 20 years. Been another 20 years for them. So let's transition though. Then we come to Houston.
Let's just start at the tip.
Yeah, well, let's do it. Right.
What are your thoughts on the tip off?
So, and I'm going to go back to Courtney Kirkland's situation with Rudy. Rudy has words after the Miami game. Ultimately, takes a fine as a result and says, "Hey, my bad." But he speaks very bluntly about Courtney Kirkland in that final call in Miami. So, you know, here we are, opening tip. Courtney Kirkland is the sideline ref, I believe, and the referee who tips. First of all, I didn't think it was a great tip. I thought it kind of leaned one way. Not that that really matters because they're never perfect. But immediately a foul is called on Rudy Gobert, and it's Courtney Kirkland who calls it from the sideline. Are we drawing, you know, parallels here? I think we are. I think everybody has, right? Everybody has to. And I watched a replay of the scene this morning. Are we looking too far into this, Devin?
I think you might be.
I
don't know. You could say that he knew he was going to call it before. I think Kirkland knew he was going to call it beforehand.
That's what I'm saying. Are we looking too far into this, or was this retribution for Rudy's calling him out?
I think there's definitely something there. I don't know that the whole officiating crew did.
No.
Because as soon as the ball was thrown and the whistle was blown, the tossing official seemed to look over like, what are you calling? You know what I mean? Like, that was my interpretation. And that's one of the things that got brought up on the broadcast last night.
Right.
Was, you know, even the refs, because when they were talking to the TNT crew, they were saying, have you ever seen this happen in an NBA game? And every single person up there, Chuck, Kenny, Shaq, all of them. No, we've never seen this. Maybe a high school game. But, I mean, you blow the whistle on the tip.
Right.
Not only that, Houston won the tip.
Right.
It did not matter. But still, okay, they blow the whistle. They're trying to send a message, trying to get the Gobert. All right. You go on, you play.
You play on. Yeah.
That's what happens. So but then you get to...
Yeah, it ends up going back and forth. You get to the 2 minute and what? Yeah,
2 minutes, 30 seconds in. Mark. And offensive foul gets called on Rudy.
On a James Harden classic flop.
Okay. It was partially a flop. It was partially a push.
I'll agree. Rudy definitely fouled him. Right. Right. Rudy definitely fouled him. But Harden's reaction still brings to mind that, and I tweeted this last night, and I am still getting notifications about this yet today. It's nonstop. I tweeted last night that when will the referee stop falling for James Harden's baits? When?
I don't think they will.
It's ridiculous.
Some of what he does is him being a smart basketball player.
I agree.
Is it pretty basketball? No. Is it smart? Absolutely.
Unwatchable.
The way he draws fouls and the things that he does, yeah. It's ugly, smart basketball, and kudos to him for being able to do it. But the exaggerated emotions, when you've got him and Chris Paul on the same team, you got to expect it, right?
Right.
We saw this with the Clippers.
Yep.
When Paul was with the Clippers. So
let me read you. Afterwards, after the game, they had the pool interview with the official, Tom Washington, and this was his responses. So, first question, why was Rudy Gobert called for a foul at the game's opening tip? Washington responds, during the jump ball, Rudy Gobert grabs the arm of Clint Capella, which is illegal contact, so it was a loose ball foul. So here they are standing up for their call. Then the next question, why was Rudy Gobert issued a one technical ejection? We haven't even talked about that. So he gets called on that second foul, heads to the bench, has words, and hits a cup or two, one of which I think was the rosin, and I don't know if there was coffee in it. The TNT,
right?
Poor no, TNT that, gal.
I don't think there was anything in it, but he does. He gets upset. He goes to the table. He you know, taps hands with favors, you know, for the swap, and then he unleashes. I kind of wish he had slapped someone with it, because the way he wound up for it and just followed through, it was beautiful for him.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
I don't know if you've seen the slap bet on How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
You know, Slapsgiving. Can you imagine a Rudy Gobert Slapsgiving? But no, he hits the stuff off, and that's a technical. You have to expect that's at least a technical there. And then he continues to go to the bench, and you see him barking at the ref even after that. So if they didn't call two technicals, did they call two?
No, they didn't. They threw him out for the incident with the cup. And here's the reason why. Here, okay. Washington's explanation. He was issued a technical foul because as he was coming off the floor, he forcefully swung at items on the scores table, and those three items came out onto the floor a considerable amount. It was just too demonstrative, and we had to take action on that. So they called a technical. But they also threw him out for that incident, and I'm not sure how I don't know the rules. So I don't know, was throwing him out for that demonstrative display, as Washington calls it, really, did it really garner him being thrown out? I don't know.
I'm not surprised it happened. I'm not mad that it did.
Well, I'm not mad. Are you mad? I mean, there was a big time win last night, 27 point win, might I add, that says otherwise.
Right. The thing we have to think about is, would the NBA have done the same? Not the NBA, pardon me. Would NBA officials have done the same thing to any other superstar in the league? You know, if LeBron James says that, does he get thrown out? I don't know. If Draymond Green does that, does he get thrown out? I'm thinking probably based on
reputation
alone.
And I think Gobert is starting to develop himself a reputation with the referees.
I would think so too.
And I don't know that that's a bad thing.
Hey, it's his checkbook. He admitted to
it after the game last night, after he took down the Instagram story. He admitted to the fact that he was wrong, that he overreacted or got carried away, or however you want to call it, that he shouldn't have. So Rudy apologized, and I'm sure he apologized to his teammates for it. But I want to talk about some numbers here for a minute. We're going to have fun with numbers. I saw somebody tweet out last night, Rudy Gobert, number 27, gets ejected. The Jazz win by 27.
Ooh.
That was from James Hansen, by the way.
Ooh.
But he credited somebody else, and I don't remember. So here's some other interesting numbers to throw out about last night's game. I wanna look at the box score. Dude, this is crazy.
Wait. Quarter one, guess how many points the Jazz scored?
27.
Quarter number four, guess how many points the Jazz scored?
27. Guess how much they outscored Houston by in the third quarter?
27.
Here, we're going to have some fun with this.
Guess how many assists they had?
26.
That's right.
Okay, here you go. Here's an even better number. James Harden, you could argue, might have been the moment that got Rudy ticked off and thrown out, right? James Harden on the night was a minus 27.
In how many minutes?
27 minutes. Guys, I'm not making this up.
No, I'm not making this up. I'm looking at the box score here. This is weird. Now I'm trying to find any other 27s that we have hiding in here.
Oh, there's more. I saved some more. Let's go down here to, well, okay, not quite. The Rockets had 26 personal fouls.
Yeah.
Guess how many times the Jazz went to the free throw line?
I'm not going to say 27.
They did.
No.
They were 20 of 27 from the free throw line. They went to the line 27 times.
Huh.
I'm not making this up.
Okay.
A couple other numbers. I was trying to look down. What was it? There was a couple other numbers, and I thought I had found them.
Well, let's talk about something else for a moment. Let's not talk about 27. Let's talk about 15.
Derek Favors?
Yeah.
Had a big night. 24 points and what, 10 boards?
24 and 10. His field goals, though, 10 of 13. Free throws, 4 of 4. He had a steal, a block, and this may be the biggest number from Favors. Okay?
I'm listening.
Personal fouls, 2.
Yeah, big night.
When you need him on the court, he was there.
Especially against Clint Capella.
Right, because after what happened with Rudy, my concern was, oh, great, if this is how they're going to call the game, Favors comes in, Favors gets in trouble, you're going to have Udo in there, Udo's going to get in trouble, you know. We are going to be very, very thin on bigs, and Capella's going to have a night. That was my concern.
Yeah, no, he was – Favors was great. Favors was fantastic. And that's all you can ask for him this season is he has been unselfish. And he – I saw somebody mention this last night. I might agree. Favors might be the most consistent Jazz player right now on all year long. We've gotten good minutes, good ball, efficient ball from him almost every night.
Right, right. If it's not him, I would say it's maybe Ingles. You know, those two have been consistent. And also, props to Udo. Favors only had to play 25 minutes, which I think may surprise some people.
Yep.
And that's because Udo came in and played 19 minutes, got 9 points, got 7 rebounds, had an assist, a steal, a block. And he 4 fouls on the night, but stayed in the game.
Right.
You know?
And almost everybody scored for the Jazz. Kyle Korver did not. And I think there was one other player that did not last night. One other 27, Devin, just for fun. This involved James Harden. 27% on a turnover ratio last night.
Oh, God.
Yeah, 27.
Okay.
So, and I've got two more numbers. These aren't 27s, though. I tweeted this out last night. The big three for Houston, Clint Capella, James Harden, and Chris Paul, a combined 15 of 41 from the field. That's horrible. They combined for 15 of the Rockets' 23 turnovers.
Ouch. You're not going to win many games on the road.
Nope.
Especially on the road with those numbers.
Nope. So that was some interesting numbers. I mean, the game itself was just a blast, and I kept tweeting gif after gif. Come on, pour it on, keep coming, and they did. I think that I did it reach 40. I think it reached 40, and then it came back down to a paltry 27 to end the game.
Let me throw out one more number for you. 24. Yeah, 24.
Tell me.
The best plus minus on the night, plus 24.
Was it Dante?
It was Dante Exum.
Dante had himself a very good night last
21
night.
21 minutes. He got 15 points, 6 of 10 shooting. He was making his layups.
His defense was stellar. I think he had the best defensive rating of the team last night, too, if I remember correctly. I'd have to go back and look. I could be wrong.
It would not surprise me. He had 5 assists, 3 turnovers, 2 steals. You know, stayed out of foul trouble. The Jazz really just did well last night defensively. And that was one thing I wanted to talk about. Yeah, the shots have started to fall, but do you think that the Jazz have turned the corner as a team when it comes to defense? Because over the past 4 games, their defensive numbers seem to be better. You know, they hold Houston to 91.
Yep.
San Antonio, they hold to 105. Not great, but in the NBA this year, it's not terrible when you think about it. Miami, they lose. They did hold them to 102. Charlotte, more points, 111, but they got the win.
I'll tell you where it's at. And John, I hope you're going to be proud of me for these numbers because you're the numbers king, not me. But I did ran a correlation on the Jazz's recent resurgence to one player. Granted, he didn't play last night more than 2.5 minutes, but Rudy Gobert has. That chip on his shoulder has returned. And I'm going to show you some numbers over the last 5 games. Okay? Over the last 5 games, and it's including last night because, granted, he didn't play, but that's fine. Offensive rating, 119. Defensive rating, 95.3. If you go on the road versus at home, nope, let's change that. Wins and losses. He's about even in wins and losses. He's a 119 offensive rating in wins, 95 defensive rating. And then on the losses, he's at 120 and 94. Then in the last 5 games. So one of those games, he had the 120 to 94, but he's been very good defensively. Very good defensively in the last 5 games, right? In fact, I'm going to take it one step further. I had it up. Devin, add your thoughts to this while I look this up.
Rudy and the return of the chip?
Yeah, just the way he's playing. I feel like, am I looking into this too far? Or do you think the last 5 games or so, he's been really amped up?
No, I think the team has started to feel like they're underdogs again. You know, I think the start of the season, the high expectations, overachieving last year, I think they've come back down to reality, and I'm hoping that's what it is. You know, I think the acquisition of Korver definitely is going to help with the spacing on the floor, but defensively, I think the Jazz need to get back to what they were doing last year, and they seem to be doing so. Just playing hard, hustling, and communicating on the court.
Okay, so here we go. Over the last five games, I'm going to go back to traditional stats on Rudy here. 15 points. His free throw shooting hasn't been great. He's 56%, but he's getting to the line six times. But 12.4 rebounds, 2.8 assists, 2.8 blocks in his last five games. And then you look at December versus November. In his points have come down. So November he was averaging 21.5 points. In December he's at 10.7, but you look at some of the other numbers, his blocks, I'm just trying to see these numbers. His plus minus gone up. He's up to 15.7 plus minus versus 14 in November. He's amped his game up. And there's something to be said of the Jazz's turnaround, and I still want to put a lot of that on the shoulders of Rudy and a chip on his shoulder. I feel like we've seen a fairly snarky Rudy, if that's even possible on the basketball court, a leader who's barking and going, you know, going at it.
Yeah, I think so. But again, we're dealing with a small sample size for December.
We are.
So we'll see what happens in the next few games, especially as the Jazz head back out on the road, especially for the next couple, because they get a couple rematches, don't they?
Yeah, they got the Spurs coming up this weekend. I believe they're at San Antonio.
They will be at San Antonio on Sunday and at Oklahoma City on Monday.
Yep, back to back.
And then they'll return to the Viv on Wednesday against Miami. So what are your thoughts? How do you see these ones playing out for them these next three games?
Is there not a game after that until Saturday?
Not until Saturday. Next Saturday against Orlando.
Okay. Thoughts on those games? So one of those two games, Oklahoma City or San Antonio, is going to be a tough one. I'm going to go out on the limb, judging by the way they've been playing. I'm going to say 2-1 in that stretch.
Okay. I was thinking the same.
I think they're going to win at Miami, or at home against Miami. I think they think about this, guys. They have to right the ship at home. They're 9-7 on the road. They've played 16 games of their 41 road games already. They're almost halfway to the road schedule, and they've won 9. They're on pace for 23 road wins on the season. You right the ship at home, you're at 50-plus wins.
Well, and they have to, because when you look at what they have ahead for the rest of the month, yep, they've got 4 games away, and they've got 6 games at home. So yep, the schedule is starting to turn, and it's only going to get easier as the year goes on.
Agreed.
You know, looking ahead, just to give you a preview of January, January's similar. They have 4 away games, and they have 8 home games, it looks like.
Yep. So you've got to start winning your home games, and you do that, you can turn it around. I was looking at the standings last night. They're in 12th place at 13-13, but they're only 5 back of second place. A 5-game difference separates 2 through 13.
No, I think the Jazz are in a good spot. So I agree. I'm thinking that we're going to get a win at the Spurs. I think they dropped the back-to-back against Oklahoma City. You know, back-to-back on the road. We'll see what happens. The good thing is you do have that earlier start on a Sunday, typically, which
yeah,
gives them a little bit more time to get some rest and travel.
See, I'm going opposite of you. I think they lose to the Spurs and beat Oklahoma City. They've actually been good on the second night of a back-to-back.
Okay, we'll see.
So,
and then we both agree should get the revenge against Miami, right?
Yes, absolutely, they should.
John, what do you think? Oh, never mind, John.
All right, that's enough Jazz talk. We've really filled it up. Let's move on to other NBA news and notes.
Rumor out there that LeBron is interested in Melo joining the Lakers. How do you feel about that?
No.
No? Yeah, no.
No.
To be fair, LeBron does have a way of being able to use people, you know, and make things happen. And you also have to factor in, well, see, it didn't work in Houston. And Houston has Capella.
Right.
Lakers have JaVale, sure. But they do have Chandler, who's a good defensive presence in the middle.
Yep.
But I still don't know if I see it working.
I don't know either. And the Lakers, to me, that experiment is still a work in progress, right? I just don't know that we're going to, I don't know how good they are or how bad they are. They show stints of being good. And LeBron, I think, has embraced that teacher role. But how good are the Lakers?
I don't think we know. They're not winning a championship this year.
No, they're not.
They may be better than we expected.
Right.
But, you know, because I think we were all a little pessimistic about how much the LeBron effect would play out, even as big LeBron James fans. I don't know. They seem to be doing okay, but this year the NBA has been kind of drunk.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Oh, drunk is putting it mildly.
Sacramento's been doing well. Denver's number one in the West.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the East seems a little bit more like what we expected.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Toronto, are they the real deal?
I think so, but I really think that you have three or four teams in the East that really are that close, because I think Philly's that good. Philly has proven so far that they are that good since they've added Butler specifically. And then you can argue Boston. Boston's been really good too. And then who's the fourth team I'm thinking of? Is it Indy?
Indiana.
Yeah, Indy's been good too. I still don't know if Indy's in that top tier. I think your top tier of teams is Toronto, Boston, and Philly. Would you disagree?
No, I wouldn't disagree at all. It's funny. I'm looking at this article from USA Today. It just went out yesterday. Talking about the NBA's wild, wild west overpowering the East. It's not even close. And this is a quote from Shaq. Shaq says, "I can't remember a time when it was as one-sided as this. It's not even close." You know, that's Shaquille O'Neal coming from a time when, I mean, you had those Lakers dynasty in the early 2000s, late 90s. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Basically, after Michael retired, since then, it's been mostly the West.
Yes, it has.
And LeBron James in the East. And now you don't have LeBron James in the East.
You had Detroit and you had Boston in the mix there for a championship in 2004 and then again in 2008, I believe it was. But then you've had the West otherwise.
Right. But, I mean, you think back to this. LeBron had Cleveland to the finals.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You had Miami and Cleveland as well. Cleveland 1-1, Miami 1-2. So you've got, I've already counted five teams in the East that have won it over the last nearly two decades.
But take away the LeBron James element.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got a Boston team that won it once or twice, and then you've got the Pistons, and I think that's it.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's interesting. The West has been so tight. How do you see this shaping up? Do you think that everything kind of comes together in the way that we expected it before the year, or does it end kind of like it is now, where it's a little different than we planned on?
Well, it's hard to say right now. The one team that I'm not sure will write it, and this is where I was hoping we'd bring this up in NBA News and Notes, is Houston. They look awful.
They do.
They've dropped, I think somebody said last night, 7 of 8. And they were blown out last night by the Jazz, minus Rudy Gobert. And let's be realistic here. The Jazz played a great game, and the Jazz are a very good team. But Houston just looks horrific right now.
Yeah, Houston's 4-6 in their last 10.
Okay.
But man, looking at the West, let me run through the teams in the West, okay? Number one, you have the Nuggets. Last 10, they are 8-2. Number two, you have the Thunder. Last 10, they are 8-2.
Right.
Number three, you have the Clippers. Last 10, 7-3. Number four, you have the Warriors, who are 5-5 in their last 10 games.
Yeah, they've been, well, but they've had injury.
Right. But still, it's the Warriors.
Right.
It's not something we expected. Behind them, LeBron James, the LA LeBron James, 7-3. Number six, the Grizzlies, 6-4. Seven, the Blazers, 4-6. We get to number seven in the West, and you finally have a team that's lost more games than they've won in the last 10.
Right.
Number eight, Mavericks, 7-3. Who saw that one coming? 9, Kings, 5-5. 10, Timberwolves, 7-3. After trading Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Then you get to the Jazz, 5-5. Pelicans, 4-6. Weren't the Pelicans one of the top teams when we started the year?
Yeah, they were. See, but you know, you mentioned, do I see things righting themselves? Look at Sacramento. They were also one of the top teams early, and they're right. Slowly dropping incrementally, bit by bit. They'll be down there.
Right. And then you get past the Pelicans, Rockets, 4-6, Spurs, 3-7.
Yeah.
Phoenix is down there.
Phoenix is horrible.
Phoenix might win 10 games this year. We'll see.
Yeah, did you see the little skirmish on the sideline last night?
Yeah, between coach.
Yeah, Igor and their rookie.
Was it their rookie?
Yeah.
Oh, who was it? Like, it wasn't Ayton. They have another rookie.
No, it's another rookie. Yes, it was Bridges. He and Bridges. And you can draw conclusions from it all you want. The guys on TNT, I think, said it best. You know, a couple of them were saying, hey, young man, you got to listen to your coach. And you do. But we don't know what was going on there. Whether they were both on the same page or not, but it sure didn't look like it, and it sure look good.
No, it didn't look good at all.
And you know who's going to lose out on that situation, right? Igor.
Normally, I would say that, but I don't know.
You don't think so?
Don't they have a new GM in James Jones?
Yeah.
Maybe he has his coaches back this time.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I'd have to see what took place in the play prior to that moment, though. It was a foul. I know that. And I'm trying to think, but I wonder if Igor was just trying to teach Bridges. But again, we're making assumptions and drawing conclusions from that moment. It didn't look good though. But you asked me if I think things will shape out. Yeah, I do think they will. I do think that, the Pelicans will make their way back up. I don't know how far. I do think the Warriors will move their way back up, but let's be real here. Do the Warriors care if they have the number one seed?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But you'll see Denver's been so alarmingly good. I don't know if they maintain it. Do you think so? I don't see them maintaining a number one seed.
The Nuggets?
Yeah.
I don't know that I see them maintaining it. I think that some of these teams are going to start to put it together and make up that ground. Can I see Denver somehow sticking into the top four? Yeah, I can.
I still believe the Jazz will make their way back up to the top four.
And that's possible, too. Houston could right the ship. Yeah. It doesn't look like it.
I don't know if they will. Could. Yeah, I don't. I think their trend is worse than anybody's right now.
And that's the thing. Houston, you have to remember, they have Harden. They have CP. They have Capella. They have Eric Gordon.
Awful defensively.
They are
awful.
But it's a Mike D'Antoni team. Did we expect them to be good defensively when he took over?
They were last year.
Did we expect it, though?
No, but you look at the pieces that they had last year, and they don't have a single one of them this year.
Okay. So let's talk about one of those pieces real quick. Trevor Ariza signs that big deal with Phoenix.
Yeah.
Sounds like they're looking to trade him.
Yeah, I heard that.
Once the deadline rolls around. And honestly, if I'm him, I got paid, and I get a get out of Phoenix, so I'm as happy as can be.
Right.
Does Houston bite the financial bullet and try to get Ariza back?
That's a good point.
Because they are probably already, I'm not looking at the numbers. John's like, yep, they're heavy into the luxury tax. I'm guessing they are because they got like $65 million wrapped up in two guys.
But if you wrap up a couple of guys along the bench, you might be able to lessen that cap hit a little bit.
You
in
might
that
be
trade.
Able to. And you might be able to ship off a pick or two because remember, they were going to offer 4 first rounders for Jimmy Butler.
But let's think long term, though, too. If they bring Ariza back, now you've got him locked into a long term deal.
Right. So what do you do?
Right.
The thing you have to realize, though, with this Houston team is they just signed Chris Paul to a big deal.
Yep.
Several years. Chris Paul is, what, 33?
Yeah.
Harden, I believe, is 28.
Yep.
Capella is like 24, 25, somewhere in there. Maybe right. He's younger. Their window may be closing. And that sounds weird to say when they've got a young big and a guy in his late 20s.
Especially when that window had just opened, what, in the last 2 years.
But that's the league.
Right.
Because if you can beat Golden State right now and you're Houston, I think you have to go for it, don't you? Because when are you going to get another MVP on your team?
Agreed.
I mean, yeah, if this was a situation a couple of years down the road and Harden was 28 at that time, you know what I mean? You're like, okay, Harden's going to be good for the next 5 years. Fine. Harden's going to be good for the next 5 years, but you only have a limited window where you got him paired with one of the best point guards to ever play the game.
Right.
And a super athletic young big. So I don't know. The Jazz have the benefit because their veteran is a 26-year-old Derek Favors.
Yeah. When you're talking their veteran long-term guy.
Right.
Because you've got some other guys on there that are veterans that have been around a while longer, Seth.
You've got Joe, you've got Korver, you've got some guys who are older.
Seth Alosha.
But I mean, Donovan Mitchell is young. Right. Rudy Gobert is young.
Right.
Exum is young. You know, they're in a good spot, and they've got good young pieces in, like, Royce O'Neal.
So let's transition one bit. We mentioned Boston a minute ago. Remember the core four from the Utah Jazz a few years ago?
Yeah.
We only got one guy left of that group, right?
Yeah.
Picked up in a trade when they sent Darren Williams packing. You look at it, too. He was drafted, what year, 2010?
Yeah.
Wasn't it the same draft that Gordon Hayward?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hayward was three, or sorry.
Favors
was three.
I'm about to bring up a point here, and I want you to hear me out. So Derek Favors has been relegated to the bench off and on the last couple of weeks in favor of matchups. He's accepted it. He's played the role. He's been brilliant. Go to Boston. Gordon Hayward. I just saw a number put up during the game last night when Boston played. Did you see the numbers? Gordon Hayward's coming off the bench right now.
No.
Boston's been good with him coming off the bench. There were some numbers ESPN posted last night, and I can't remember for the life of me what those were, but just how good Boston's been with him coming off the bench for them and still putting up big minutes and playing well. How long does that last?
Until it stops working.
Yeah.
That's what it should be. You know, Manu Ginobili was a guy who could have started in this league, and he didn't.
Absolutely.
He knew his position. He played his position. And Gordon Hayward is another number 20 who needs to do the same if that's what helps his team win.
Jamal Crawford's done the same thing for years. Lou Williams, another guy that's done it for years. Eric Gordon is doing it in Houston right now. Guys that should be starters that are good enough, but they're coming off the bench. So, no, I had to bring that up. It was an interesting stat that I saw thrown out last night. That Boston's been really good since he's been coming off the bench. And it's a small sample size, right? Let's put that in perspective. It's a small sample size.
Right. But if it's working, you roll with it.
Right.
And Boston has a fantastic roster of people who they can mix and match and play with different guys.
Right.
I mean, you have to think about this. Boston has Terry Rozier and Gordon Hayward coming off the bench, right?
Yep.
I think there's probably 15 teams that would like to have those two starting on their teams. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
I mean, would you object to having Scary Terry as your starting point guard next year if you're the Jazz?
No.
Would you be upset if Gordon Hayward was back with Utah?
No.
Healthy? You know?
I mean, neither one of those will happen, but no. I get you. I get your point. These guys could start in other locations.
Right, and we have said how much we value Ricky Rubio, how much we love Joe Ingles, but those are two fantastic players.
Yep.
And that's just a portion of their bench.
Agreed.
So, no, Boston, I think Boston will get it together. They've struggled a little bit to start it out. Sounds like they're figuring it out now. And where Kyrie was saying in the post-game interview last night, everyone's just got to figure out their role and how to help the team win and not to try to do it independently, but as a team. You know, they've got a coach of the year. They've got an NBA champion. They've got multiple time all-stars. They'll be fine. They should be fine.
Okay, I think that does it for NBA news and notes. I can't think of anything else to hit in the NBA, so let's move on to Devin's quick hits.
Let's keep it short this week because we don't have John. It's not as much fun when you don't have the big round table.
We didn't have big. We didn't have quick hits last week.
I know. I didn't get a chance to listen. Did you guys talk about a certain rivalry football game
Yes, we're not touching on it again.
Are you sure? Because I feel like I didn't. Okay. Let's talk. Let's talk bowl season.
Can we talk about the game that happened that night of last week? Or do you not want to touch on that one either?
Sure, we can talk about that. Weber State men's basketball.
That's not what I'm talking about.
BYU at home.
That's not what I'm talking about.
You don't want to talk about that one?
I'm talking about that Pac-12 championship game.
Let's talk football. Let's talk upcoming football instead.
Okay, if you don't make your first quick hit about tonight, I'm gonna be disappointed in you.
About Weber State's football game?
Yeah.
Yeah, Weber State. Home game, playing against Maine. Weber State, ranked number 2.
What is this, quarterfinal? Semifinal? Quarterfinal?
I think this is quarterfinal.
Okay.
Because I think semifinal would be next week. Let me pull it up.
I know our good friend Chappie been pushing to get everybody to show up at the game tonight, too, and fill those seats.
And if you don't, I expect that you'll be watching on the television. It should be on ESPN 2.
And where will you be, Devin?
I will probably be watching it from home. Thank you very much. Don't tell Chappie.
Come on, you're closer than the rest of us.
I know.
All you got to do is drive down the street.
I know. Yeah, Weber State taking on Maine at home. FCS quarterfinal matchup. Again, Weber State number 2, hosting number 7, Maine. What do you think? The Cats keep it rolling?
Absolutely.
Man, they look good.
I'm saying Weber's going all the way. Jay Hill has done such a fantastic job. Yeah, I do. I think they'll go. Let's put it this way. I think they'll be in the championship game.
Oh, I
hope
so.
What happens there, I don't know, but I'm saying they end up in the championship game.
Okay.
Jay Hill, let that sink in, what he has done with that program.
I know.
And it's been over the course of what, 3 or 4 years?
I don't think it's been that long.
Two years, 3 years?
I was thinking it was like 2 or 3, but maybe it's been longer.
He's turned that thing around.
So with that, Matt Wells is leaving Utah State.
Yes.
Off to Texas Tech.
Yep.
The Aggies are going to be looking for a coach. Do you think the Aggies are going to go after Jay Hill?
Why wouldn't you?
Because I told them not to.
Exactly.
Leave my coach alone.
Yep. You know what? Devin down there in Ogden says, don't go after Jay Hill. So I think we're going to go look elsewhere.
Good. Heard it here first.
But my point is taken, is it not? Why wouldn't you consider the job he's done and think about bringing him up there? He's already recruiting in-state, is he not?
Yeah, but so is Kalani Sitake. And I would think that Sitake is looking for a better job.
No, he's not.
Are you sure?
He's got his dream job.
No, he had his dream job. He was defensive coordinator for the University of Utah, and he left. All right. So let's talk. Utah State, great season, ends up in the New Mexico Bowl against North Texas. How do you feel about it?
Yeah.
They kind of got hosed, right?
Yes. You like my meh response? Yeah.
I mean, that's bad.
It's horrible. Yeah.
I mean, they finished the season. What did they lose? Was it 2 games? Was it 10-2?
Yeah.
One of those losses came against Boise State?
Yep.
Okay, maybe this will make you feel a little bit better. Boise State goes to a bowl game.
What is it?
They're playing in the First Responder Bowl, but at least they get Boston College.
Okay.
Fresno State wins the Mountain West. You know where they're going.
The Vegas Bowl. Against a Pac-12 opponent.
Arizona State.
It's actually not a bad matchup.
No, it's not. There's Arizona State, I think, overachieved this season. They're better than I thought they'd
be. It's just unfortunate because just how good a year the Aggies had.
Right. I wanted something more for them.
Me too.
But that's what they get. So what do you think? You taking the Aggies to win that one?
Absolutely.
Should destroy them, right?
Yep.
Okay. BYU.
Idaho.
Small potatoes or big potatoes?
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They're going to win that game too.
Where are they playing?
Is it Northern Michigan?
No, there's not a Northern Michigan.
I'm just trying. I'm pulling. I know it's a Michigan something or another.
Is it Western Michigan?
Western Michigan. Okay. Western Michigan. It's a Michigan name. I know that.
But it's not Michigan.
Right.
And it's not Michigan State.
No.
Let's see. They are, I'm trying to remember what conference they were in.
Oh, you're funny. Oh, wait. Michigan's conference? Yeah, good question. I don't know.
I'm trying to like inform our listeners about the happenings and goings on.
I'll tell you, let's go.
I don't know.
It is going to be, I'm bringing it up now. Western Michigan, a 7-5 Western Michigan team, and it will be the 21st on ESPN. The early projections have BYU a -12.
Ha, they're a MAC team, Mid-American Conference.
There you go. BYU -12 in that game.
They were third overall in the MAC behind Buffalo and Northern Illinois.
So, oh, and Northern Illinois, we all here in Utah should be familiar with them because both BYU and Utah played them, and they played both teams tough.
They did. They did. Very different games.
Yeah, they were.
Let's round it out then. Let's talk about the Utes.
Yep.
Utah had a struggle in the Pac-12 championship. I was very disappointed.
That was a defensive game and a heck of a good one, too.
Yeah, I guess. I guess you could say that.
I mean, you compare it to the last time these two teams played each other early in the year when Washington beat them. A little bit more scoring in that game.
Yep.
They're
usually pretty low-scoring games between these two, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but part of that, I mean, look at Washington's defense this year. They're very fast and strong up front. Aren't they?
Yeah, their running back is just, he's next level talent.
Yep.
You know, was it Miles Gaskin, I think is his name. He's going to be playing on Sundays for sure. But
quick question, though. Would this game have turned out differently with Huntley and
Moss? You know, it's one of those things I can't say that it would have. But it definitely would not have hurt to have another back, you know?
Yeah.
To have your starting quarterback and your starting running back would be huge. And if Britton Covey doesn't go out injured, you know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Utah just struggled through with the injuries.
Yeah, they did.
We'll see what happens. Still, I never heard.
Still had a chance to tie it up at the end, too.
They did. They had a chance. What'd you think about the no call?
Objectively, I thought it was okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, he was like a second early.
Okay, but I'm looking at it in game time, not in replay. In replay, I agree with you. But it's game time, game is on the line, seconds left, and you're watching it in high speed. You can't tell me that you're going to call that against the defense every single time.
No, I'm only going to call it when it happens.
But no, I'm just saying.
It's not like he was in the end zone and the game was.
I get why Ute fans are angry about it. Because, yes, after seeing the replay, yeah, I could see that. But I also see it's one of those calls that in my opinion, could have gone either way, Dev. I really do.
Wow.
That's why I'm not going to fault the refs on this. And I don't think anybody should. Utah had their chances throughout this game. You can't rely on a final
PI
or missed PI call.
Oh, no. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that I would just hope that the refs would call it fair. I can't do a French accent.
No, and I get where you're coming from, too, because Ute fans have a gripe. It's Pac-12 officiating. It's been awful all year for how many years now? It's awful. I'm not going to disagree on that. I'm not.
You said Pac-12 officiating. Let's talk about something else. Utah does get a nice bowl game out of this.
Who are they playing?
They're playing Northwestern, ranked 22. In the Holiday Bowl, which is San Diego, New Year's Eve, 5 p.m. What do you think? If you're Utah, are you happy with that?
No. nor should you be. But is it a bad situation based on how you finished off? No. But if you're the team, you shouldn't be happy with that because you could have had better. You could have been better.
Right. Could have been in the Rose Bowl. But I mean, when you think about the season as a whole, if they go into the Holiday Bowl, if they are able to pull out a win against a very good, very good Northwestern team, I think you can be happy and hang your head high at the end of the season, especially Agreed. When you think about where they were, what was it, end of October?
Agreed.
So, and I'm sure we'll talk about this in a future week, you know, because the game will be coming up. But
yep,
that's our in-state bowl schedule, and I think that's a good quick hits for today.
All right. Well, that ends it on quick hits. Normally, we'll have John to move on to pop culture. We don't, but I'm going to take a minute to move on because there was a trailer that dropped today. This morning, as a matter of fact. Avengers Endgame teaser trailer prepping us for the release in May. Very excited, too. An emotionally charged trailer. Has me excited for Avengers. We've all been waiting for this, waiting since Infinity War, and I'm thrilled. And after watching this trailer, it has me ready. All the feels, man. This really had me pumping my fist a bit, and I can see, you know, some folks said it drew a tear, and I can see why. There's some serious emotions in this trailer that are charged in some of these characters, specifically Captain America, but also, oh my gosh, Tony Stark. And you know, in the very beginning, you know, hearing him talk about it, it's an emotional packed trailer, and yeah, has me thrilled for the upcoming movie. Also, earlier this week was released Captain Marvel's trailer, her second trailer, I believe. I am also thrilled about that film. Wish I had John here to talk about these because John's the movie guy too, but he's not here. But the trailers, I think, is all I have that I can talk about at the moment. I'm trying to think of other stuff that's happened this week.
Nerds rejoice. I will say I watched Black Panther on Netflix.
How'd you like it?
It's good. I didn't think it was great.
What?
It was good. It was
gorgeous. It was a gorgeous movie.
It was good.
No.
I don't know. It wasn't my thing. What else have I watched in my Netflix binging? I watched a lovely rom-com called Playing It Cool.
Okay.
This kind of ties in because it has Chris Evans in it.
Oh.
So, what's his name? General America?
Captain America. Oh, yo, you're funny. Oh. Funny. Real funny. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I actually really liked it. It had him, Michelle Monaghan, and Topher Grace. It was what you get. It's kind of predictable. You know, the summary of it is a guy is hired to write a screenplay or a script for a romantic comedy, and he's never been in love.
Okay.
And so, you know, of course, what happens to a guy who's never been in love and doesn't believe in love when he has to write the script? Maybe he... experiences something. So that one was good. I enjoyed that. And then there was another one. Let me see if I can find it here. Oh, hang on. I think I want to bring in a special guest to talk about this movie.
I think so too.
So just give me a minute and we'll bring him on. Okay. We got our special guest on the line.
Yep.
And so, the movie that I watched was The Spectacular Now.
But wait. Aren't we going to introduce our special guest?
Special guest, I want to know, have you seen this movie, The Spectacular Now?
I have seen that movie. I gave it 3.5 stars.
Whoa!
Would you believe it? Germs guy on Jedi and Germs this week.
Hello, Germs. We weren't expecting you. We were going along without you, just kind of moseying along, and there you come.
3.5
I'm
stars.
I'm glad you moseyed it a piece I could hop off. Yeah, I really liked Spectacular Now. I thought it was one of Miles Teller's best roles, between that and Whiplash, I would say. And Shailene Woodley, that was around the time she was cast in Allegiant, and she was really good in that. And I just thought it was a very nice, balanced, you know, romantic drama between two young people.
Man, I am impressed. I just
you're on fire, Devin. You're on fire.
you didn't happen to watch Playing It Cool, did you? Because I talked about that one before you joined.
Playing It Cool. What was that one?
That one's starring who did you say? Chris Evans. Chris Evans. It's a Netflix flick, right? Yeah.
Oh yeah, I don't even think that went to theaters. It just
No, I don't think so.
Wait, yeah. What was it called again?
Playing It Cool. I enjoyed it.
Which one was that about? That's right. We were talking about that. So, because I saw another Chris Evans film recently, and I don't think it was on Netflix. It was on Amazon Prime. It was Chris Evans, and this gal gets her purse stolen in New York.
Is it Before I Go?
Is that what it was? Gal gets her purse stolen and phone stolen, and he spends the entire night traipsing around New York with her.
Yeah,
before she sends it home. Oh,
Before We Go is what it's called.
By the way, good show. Good show. John, you need to see it. I thought
it was
good.
Wasn't he also the guy in Cellular where Kim Basinger gets kidnapped and she calls his random number?
Was that what it was?
He has to, where she's locked in the trunk of a car?
I don't remember. Maybe, yeah. Sounds like
it could be. That's another Chris Evans movie. It's an older one. That one's from 2004. That was kind of put him on the map for me as someone to keep paying attention to.
Well, in this film, Before We Go, it featured he and I forget who she was in the film.
Oh, you're making me.
But it was
look
just.
It up again.
But really, it was
Alice
just.
Eve?
Is that who it was?
Yes.
But it was
Alice
just.
Eve.
It was just the two of them. Like there were moments, cameos from other characters in their lives, but the whole movie surrounded them all night in New York City.
I like that one. When a young wife is robbed before boarding a train to Boston, she meets a free-spirited musician who stays with her on the adventure of a lifetime.
Yep.
Really, I need to move.
It's a good show. And I'm not a romance kind of movie guy, but it was really good. I liked it. So John, before you hopped on, we did talk about the trailers that were released this week. Did you see Captain Marvel's trailer earlier this week?
The new one, yeah. Saw that on the big screen.
Okay. And did you see the one that was dropped this morning, Avengers Endgame?
I favorited it so I would have a chance to watch it later, but I have not had a chance to watch it yet.
Oh, you need to watch it. So many feels. It is emotionally charged for a trailer. There's a lot to garner from that trailer. I know you're rolling your eyes at me, Devin. Go ahead. Nerds will be nerds. I get
Nerd
it.
Nerd alert.
But an emotionally charged trailer. Really good. Really quickly before we get on to a couple other things in pop culture, you'll be proud when you hear this episode later. We talked, had fun with numbers, specifically with the number 27 from last night's game. Lots of 27 appearances last night, and he didn't even play more than 2.5 minutes.
Let's just do the episode over.
What did you think of last night's game, John?
I really enjoyed it overall. I mean, I thought the refs were picking on Rudy on purpose. I think you kind of have to eject him when he just knocks that stuff off the table, but they were really, really unfair to him. And I don't blame him for getting upset. I blame him for knocking stuff off because he got ejected. But I'm proud of the way the rest of the team rallied. Everyone stepped up. Derek Favors had a monster night. So I was thrilled with all of that. Everyone had a good night. Everyone contributed well. Dante Exum, it seemed like he's been listening to some critics and improved on his passing and driving and stuff.
And you say everyone, but Donovan only had 6 last night.
Yeah. Yeah, so, he kind of backed off, I felt like. Once he was 3 of 9, he just kind of – he felt a lot more like a facilitator.
Yeah, I'll agree. I mean, but if you look at the box score, you see that Rudy Gobert played 2.5 minutes and Donovan Mitchell had six points. Who do you think wins that game?
Right.
I mean, it's just it's
oh, except
crazy.
They're playing Houston, so they still have a chance. Because for some reason, Houston is one of the worst teams in the West this year.
Right, and
so
that's
bizarre.
That's the other thing I was going to bring up. Tale of two stories last night. The Jazz – winners of 4 of 5 and looking like they've maybe turned the corner in the right direction. And Houston, who's just been awful, just plain awful on defense, offense, the whole bit. So,
yep.
Okay. Now that was the majority of the first part of our show, but I wanted to jump in still in pop culture. Have you on Netflix seen The Christmas Chronicles?
I'm aware of it. Is that the Kurt Russell as Santa one?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Might I suggest it for your holiday viewing pleasure? Take some time to see it. Kurt Russell as Santa. There's Darby Camp and Judah Lewis. I'm not familiar with them. Director was Clay Cadis. But this, it's a really heartwarming show, but it's also funny. Kurt Russell as Santa is great. There are some quotables in here that you will just, you'll laugh at, you know. I felt like Kurt Russell played this well, played it like a normal Kurt Russell role, which is what I think is great. He infused his own kind of, you're better at words than this than I am, but infused his own personal, take into
his own little twist on the character.
Yeah, and who Santa Claus was, and I loved it.
Is
that's what I meant.
Santa Claus is, kids.
And I'm not giving anything away, but a couple of quotes from this that really made me laugh. One was when he's going around New York City, or not New York City, but around Chicago, because that's where he ends up, going around Chicago, looking up at the signs of a fat Santa, and I can't quote him exactly, but he says something. He's like, "What is this? False advertising. I am not fat. In fact, I go to the gym 5 times a week." and then the kids ask him to ho ho ho. He goes, "Guys, that's a farce. Santa doesn't ho ho ho. I don't do it." But it's just, it's so good. I anybody who's into some holiday viewing, take some time on Netflix, watch The Christmas Chronicles. I watched it. I enjoyed it from start to finish. It's wonderful. You'll also find it very funny and fitting who Mrs. Claus is at the very end. So stick around
for it.
Don't
spoil
it. I'm not spoiling it. I'm just telling you, stick around for it. It's quite funny.
You know, if you're going to watch a Christmas movie, the one you should be watching is Love Actually.
I've heard a lot of people talking about that.
John, you've seen Love Actually, right?
Yeah, I like Love Actually.
Well, I'll watch
parts of it.
Actually, I love Actually too, maybe.
I actually love Actually. All right. Hey, John, did you see any movies this week?
Did I see any movies this week?
I know we brought you on.
I feel like I saw
guest.
Something online. I just wanted to mention the Golden Globe nominations are out.
Okay.
So this is like the beginning of the Oscar season when the Golden Globes are out. So Best Picture Drama, the nominees are Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, If Beale Street Could Talk, and A Star Is Born. The only one of those that hasn't come out yet is If Beale Street Could Talk. That comes out in limited release next week, and then it expands.
And you mentioned Black Panther, and before you came on, Devin talked about the fact that he finally watched it, and he wasn't entirely impressed.
It was good.
Yeah, I saw it a second time, and I still really liked it. But, you know, it's one of the better Marvel movies. That's what it is.
When are the Golden Globes?
They are usually in January.
Okay.
Let's see, January 6th. And usually, like, right after the winners come out, the Oscar nominations are announced.
All right. Any other notes for that, for Golden Globes,
The Best Picture Musical or Comedy, the nominees are Crazy Rich Asians, The Favorite, Green Book, Mary Poppins Returns, and Vice.
And two of those just came out, and I want to see them both.
Yeah. Let's see. So Green Book, we were going to go see Green Book last week, but then it sold out. Hopefully we'll see it this week. Mary Poppins Returns comes out in a couple weeks. Vice comes out in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
The Favorite, I believe, is in limited release right now.
It is.
And so, yeah. And then Crazy Rich Asians.
I'm trying to think. The Favorite is starring, isn't that Emma?
It's Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone.
Emma Stone, that's who it was. I knew it was an Emma. I was going to say the wrong Emma for a minute, so I had to hold my tongue. Yes, Emma Stone. Yeah, okay, Golden Globes. I'm looking forward to that. Anything else?
I've got something. I don't think we talked about it.
What's that, John?
I just remembered the movie I watched. I watched La La Land again.
Ah, yes.
Is that what you were going to say, Devin?
Classic rope-a-dope.
Is that what you were just going to bring up, Devin?
No.
Oh, I thought maybe you two were on the same page here.
No, I wish. I love that movie. That Ryan Gosling is a hunk of hunk.
Oh, boy, here we go. All right, what did you...
It's like looking in a mirror.
Oh, you did not just say that. Oh.
Yeah. I did.
Devin kind of looks like Ryan Gosling.
Well, if you go out to iTunes, the description of the show ends off with, and Devin is one sexy son of a gun. So, whatever.
And you know, like when, if you wear glasses, and even if you don't wear glasses, when you wear sunglasses and it's cold outside and they get all foggy.
Uh-huh.
If you do that and you look at me, I look just like Ryan Gosling.
Wow.
Like, you wouldn't be able to tell us apart. Still like La La Land, John? Is it still as great as I remember it?
Crickets.
What?
It is La La Land. He can't hear over you laughing. Is La La Land still as good as I remember it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I need to ask you something because you put me on a mission. I don't think we talked about it yet, though.
Okay.
Did we talk about Ozark on the show?
No.
No, you said you were about to watch it or something.
Yeah, I
finished both seasons, so
as did yes. I.
And
it's a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Jason Bateman was nominated for a Golden Globe for Ozark this year in the television categories.
Not surprised.
I really enjoy Ozark. I love how dark it is and just how quickly it gets so dark that it's just funny at some point because everyone gets so tangled.
Right. It's very well written. I think the way that the characters all work together in different ways and the unexpected turns that it takes sometimes, especially like in season two, there were like a couple I was like, yeah. I did not expect that.
Yep.
Be curious to see where it goes. I do like the effect that they have with the filtering of the cameras, like that blue light.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say it defines the show, but it makes the show clearly identifiable amongst so many other things that are out there. Yeah, you get that sometimes with like a New York City-based show. They seem to use that a similar filter. But it seems to really work well for the...
Gives it an almost vintage.
Yeah, and just the mood. It kind of is dark and fits what they're going for. So... I watched that one. I really enjoyed it. Wanted to tell you thank you for the recommendation. And then I jumped into another series. I don't know if either of you have watched Schitt's Creek.
Nope.
I watched the pilot a while ago.
I watched the
I think
first...
it was my first start on Pop. I watched it.
Yeah, I watched a couple episodes and I was like, eh. And people said, it's good. It's good. It's good. And I've watched maybe 10 episodes now. And yeah, it's good. I find it funny.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
It's a nice light if you're looking for something to watch. You got 20 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
You want to rattle off a couple of them before you go to bed. Gives you something to watch. So.
All right. Anything else? John, do you have anything else you wanted to talk about on the show this week? Since I have no idea
how long you guys have been talking, so I'm okay with just wrapping this up, and then I'll listen back and see what I want to cover next week.
Sounds like a plan. All right. Thank you all for joining us. We're glad that John hopped on at the tail end. And we appreciate you all being along each and every week. You can find us on. Yes, Devin.
No. I think we should let our special guests take us out.
Well, let me get there.
Okay.
Reminding everybody where they can find the episodes. You find them anywhere you listen to podcasts, you know, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you like. It's going to be there. Jedi and Germs, Facebook and Twitter, Jedi and Germs. All I'll ask is that you please leave us a review. Please just take 2 minutes and leave us a review on one of those locations. In the meantime, watch for us again next week. John, we are glad you're here. Take us out.
Bye, everybody.